morning, and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know and believe that it is a responsibility of the church to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Today, I'd like to welcome you here for our continuation in our Lenten series, Walking with God, and we are going to be talking about walking in the law today. How many of you like the word law? How many of you like obeying the law? How many of you like breaking the law? How many of you have broken the law? Yeah. Well, we're going to be talking about that, but I want us to understand something that's a little bit different about God's law and the law of our land and the way we interpret law or look at law here in the United States. So my introduction is going to be a little strange. How many of you have been paying much attention to these self-driving cars that are out there? Okay, we don't have a lot of them here in Pennsylvania. In fact, I don't even know if we have any here in Pennsylvania. But in California, they're all over the place, and they are coming. It is going to be a very big reality in our world within the next few years, where you're going to get into a vehicle, and it's going to drive you to where it wants you to go or where you want to go. But you're not going to be behind the wheel. You're not going to be the one accelerating. You're not going to be. I mean, they're looking at mass transit being driven by these things. They're looking at trucks being driven. We won't need truck drivers anymore. It's really weird what they're planning. But hey, this is all technology. All right, I want you to think about something. How much technology does it take? How much information does it take to get one of these vehicles working? Because it's all about information, stored information that is accessible to this vehicle to get it to where it needs to go. I want you to think about something, all right? These vehicles are capable of processing 1 terabyte of information in a 24-hour period. 1 terabyte. Do you know how much 1 terabyte is? Okay? The reality is you don't know how much a terabyte is. It's a number to all of us, and we have an idea. Let's put it this way. In the 1970s, when they sent the first astronauts to the moon, the computer that they used filled a 3-story building, and it carried on that computer 500 bits of information, okay? 500 megabits of information. 500 megabits of information, all right? How many of you have a cell phone right now? All right? How many of you realize that cell phone contains in it almost 1,000 times more information? All right? Now, let's jump to a terabyte. That is 10,000 times that amount of information, okay? So we sent men to the moon with enough information. Many of you have little wristwatches that have calculators on them. That has more information in it than it took to get the men to the moon in the 1970s, okay? That's just an idea of how much information we're talking about. These cars are going to process so much information so quickly because they are supposed to be able to travel at speeds of up to 150 miles an hour. Okay? That's also one of the reasons why they don't want people driving them, because they are not for driving around cities as much as they're doing that right now to introduce them. They're going to be for long-haul traffic, okay, to get you across the nation if you have a destination to get to. That's the main purpose of them. They will drive in cities, but how many of you would like to be able to get from, say, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, to Colorado in 12 hours because that car is able to get you there that quickly because it won't have to stop? Now, you may have to stop. Yeah. We may have to stop, but the vehicle won't, okay? We're talking a lot of information, right? A lot of information. Well, I want you to understand something, because we call God's word the law, which is truthfully not what it should be called, because it's called Torah, all right? Torah means teaching, or information. That's what Torah means. If you translate the word Torah, it means teaching or information. And God has given us a great teaching. He has given us a lot of information in His Bible. And it's amazing because when you and I think about Torah, most of us think, you know, if you are an Old Testament theologian or an Old Testament scholar, it's the first five books is the Torah. And then the rest of it is the histories, and then we have the Psalms, and we have the minor prophets, and et cetera, et cetera. Okay? But the reality of it is, all of this could be labeled as Torah, from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, because it's God's teaching to us. All right? So when we talk about God's law, we need to understand something. Jesus is the consummation of the law. He is the Word of God in its entirety, in its deliverance, and He has delivered Himself unto us. So we have the fullness of God's Word in Christ Jesus, and we have the fullness of that Word right here. And there is far more information here for our lives than you and I could ever hope or dream. It's like that terabyte, trying to figure out just how much information that really is. You and I could not store a terabyte of information in our minds, okay? Our minds are actually far more infinite than that. They can store a whole lot more than a terabyte. But unfortunately, we only use 10% of our brain. And some of us, I question that. Okay? Especially the guy that's looking in the mirror at me. So when I think about all the information that God has given us, that takes me into a reality that God's law, God's Torah, is actually a program. Okay? We are constantly being programmed. How many of you know that? We are constantly being programmed. Okay? In fact, in my house, we have shut off the programming pretty much. We have turned off the television. Because I am so... We watched TV last night. This is not a joke. Since this thing all took off, okay? Yesterday was the first time I got the TV out. Turn the TV on. You watch 5 minutes of a movie and you watch 15 minutes of commercials. I swear that's the truth. I can remember when I was a kid, you'd watch 15 minutes of TV and a minute of commercials. Now it's like every 3 minutes, there's 5 minutes of commercials. I got sick of it and left the room. We are being programmed. God wants us to understand He has a program for us. And that program is filled with information. And that information generally comes to us in several different forms. This information comes to us as descriptions and or instructions. Okay? God wants us to know that He wants us to understand what something is, okay? Simply look at the book of Exodus, chapter 20 and 2. Don't go there. It says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So that's a description of who God is, correct? And then you have another one from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 3. It says, you shall have no other gods before me. Now that's an instruction, isn't it? The one is a descriptive, the other is an instruction. And we will find that throughout the scriptures, that is exactly what we find, all right? Turn in your Bibles, if you would. If not, it's going to be up on the screen to Deuteronomy chapter 5, because that's where I want us to begin today. Deuteronomy chapter 5. We're going to be in the 31st verse, and we're going to read through 33. There we go. I'm like, mine doesn't start there. Oh, okay. It says, but as for you, stand here by me, that I may speak to you all the commands and statutes and the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I give them to possess. So you shall observe to do just as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. You shall walk in all the way which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you will possess. Now, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of information right there. That information is telling us and pointing us in the direction that God has a program for our lives. He wants us to understand that if we follow this program, it will go well for us. But how many of us know better than God? Every time we sin, we're telling God we know better than Him. Every time we disagree with God, we're telling Him we know better than Him. How's that doing for you right now? Okay? How many of us find ourselves in a world of hurt more often than not? Okay? God is here to let us know that in this life we're going to have light and momentary troubles. How many of us have light and momentary troubles? Okay? Many of us are saying, no, mine are pretty deep and pretty weighty. Okay? And the reality is, in the scope of eternity, they are nothing. When we are with Him 10,000 years and we look back on these 80-some years that we've had here, we're going to be like, oh my gosh, can you believe I worried about that? Can you believe I let that control me? But we need to understand, God has a program for while we're here. He has a way that He wants us to live while we're here, describing different things within our world and then instructing us as to how we ought live. And it's from these places that God's law, God's word, spells out for us all the things that we need to know and do. Because you see, God's law spells out every step of His way. And we need to understand, He loves us so much that He has given us the instructions. But we all, like sheep, have turned to our own way. Okay? However, God wants us to remember something. God wants us to understand something. Because as we do, He can then get us back in right alignment. Turn in your scriptures to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be in verse 13 through 17. If you don't have a scripture, that's cool. It's up on the screen. I like that, putting it up there and having it here. That way you can go either direction you want to go. I like looking at my own word and being able to follow along. But if you can't, man, it's right there for you, okay? From 3 and 13, it says, "But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." Do we see that happening in our world today? I mean, all we have to do is look around. You know, some of the things that are going on right now in our world, which we're going to talk about here in just a moment, are simply politicized to get our eyes off of something else and onto something else, okay? There is so much happening in our world that is propaganda, all right? And we need to be able to see through it. And God has given us that ability. He says to us from verse 14, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ." Brothers and sisters, that scripture right there alone should be enough to give us comfort, that we know our salvation is in Jesus Christ. Nothing this world has to offer us is ever going to matter to the point of our salvation, all right? Many of us need to know what to do, where to go, and how to be, and, you know, people in this world are going to tell us. But here's one thing. There is somebody who is out of this world, and He is also in this world, in each and every one of us, that love Him, and that is Jesus Christ. And His way is the way of eternity. His way is the way of wholeness and health and goodness. Now, does that mean you're not going to get sick? Does that mean you're not going to have trials and struggles? No, but when you're going through them, He's right there to give the answers that you need, to give you the hope that you need, to give you the strength that you need to see the next day, okay? Because if my hope is in the doctors and the medical reports that I get, how's that getting you, sis? But how about what Jesus Christ says? He will make all things new again. that he will strengthen us, that we are more than conquerors. Brothers and sisters, if we believe these things and really start living in them and showing our faith in them, there is nothing in this world that can get us down. You know, I have a dear sister back here. She says, we are not going to let him rob our joy. You know, and it's so funny because that is so simplistic. But when I start getting down, I see your face, Sister Jen. And I have to remember it. And then I have to stand up and put my foot down. Not going to happen. I'm drawing the line. I'm drawing the line. And here it is. And then you move forward. But we have to move forward with intelligence. And God wants us to. He says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. Brothers and sisters, God has given us everything we need to know about life if we are going to apply it to our lives. If you're not going to apply it, you're not going to read the instructions, all right? All right, guys, let's get real. How many of you bought that latest barbecue grill, and when you got to the insurance pack or the instruction packet, you just threw it over your shoulder and started putting bolts together? And when you're done, there are five extra parts, and they must not matter. They're just extras, right? Or you get halfway through, and you need that inch and a quarter, and all you have are 5/8. Never been there, right? We all know that if we really want to know, we have to invest in the knowing, all right? How many of our kids hated to go to school? I don't want to go to school. Those people don't like me to tell me I'm dumb. You are. That's why you're going to school. To get smart. You ain't born smart. We got to put it in there. All right? Yeah. I'm being honest. You know, we're all going to laugh about this. We have to, because we got to laugh at ourselves. I'm telling you right now, man, when I was 14, I thought my parents were the most ignorant people in the world. They don't know nothing. I'm now 57, and I wish my dad were still alive so I could ask him a few questions. We need to grow up. We need to find the instructions. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you right now, the instructions are right in front of us. God has given us a teaching, and it's a beautiful teaching. It's a wonderful teaching. A lot of people give the Old Testament a hard knock because there's a lot of laws in there. You know, God gave Adam and Eve one law. They broke it. So several centuries later, actually a couple millennia later, he gave them 10 laws. They couldn't even keep them for 40 days. So then he gave them 613 on top of the 10, all right? And everybody's like, well, you know, they added them. No, they didn't. God gave 613. God gave to Moses 613. Now, they did add some more stuff to it after that, okay? And it's in other books that they have. But we need to remember, God gave them 613. But have you ever read them? Do you know what they say? Right now, we find ourselves in a place where God wants us to take the initiative as Christians to be an example of health and wholeness and holiness in our world. Right now, there is a, I hate to use this word, pandemic. No, there's a panic going around our world, all right? This flu is a flu. We've heard it from many people. It's a bad flu, all right? But it's still a flu. And people are going to die. People die every year from the common flu. Miss Jen, you're in the hospital out at the VA. People die from the regular flu every year. Am I right? Thousands, okay? We're seeing that with this flu. It's a flu. But they're using it as a fluke to subvert us and to get us to march in line, because there's an agenda that is out there. All right? And right now, I'll guarantee you this thing, I hope it goes viral. Because here's the reality. We're in an election year. And there is a group of people in this world, not just the United States, in this world that wants to defeat this democracy. Because if they can defeat this democracy, then they can get their one world order. But God has told us how to live. I think this is so amazing. Have you ever read the Old Testament? I'm serious. When you read the book of Leviticus, there are some things in there. It's like, oh my goodness, you got to wash this and you got to wash that because there's a mold. Oh my gosh, how stupid is that? Of course you wash things if there's a mold. You get the Clorox out and you take care. He's talking about the coronavirus, people. He's talking about right where we are right now. He's given us the information to keep you safe, to keep you healthy, to keep you whole. Apply God's program. You know, there was a point where if a person got sick, you had to put them outside of the city for a period of 7 days, and then when they became clean, then they could go wash up, and then they could come back in and present themselves, and if they were whole, then they could be brought back in. That's what we should be doing. Isn't that what we are doing? We're being told, limit contact, 6 foot around each other, okay? Why? And for those of you who are sitting up front here, I'm sorry, because I know when I speak, sputum comes out, all right? Those are the droplets that everybody is talking about, okay? Because this thing is airborne. Yeah, because pastor's up here spitting, all right? They're microbe droplets, but they're droplets, and that's how this thing spreads, from people just talking. And it gets onto a surface, and then somebody touches it. So we need to be clean people. That's common sense. You know, my mom used to tell me, wash your hands. So I'd go in the bathroom and I'd wash my hands. The tops of them would be muddy all the way up to the elbow. Did you wash your hands? Yes. Wash your arms. Well, should I take a whole bath? You don't need a bath. Just wash your hands. It's so amazing. God has said these things. You got to remember, when Israel went out from Egypt, they were in the wilderness. They were camping. For heaven's sakes, how many of you have ever been camping? It's dirty. It is dirty. All right? You don't have the conveniences of home where you can just go in the bathroom and take a shower. So he put these ordinances in place to keep these people safe. These ordinances haven't gone away. In fact, Jesus says, I have not come to remove the law, but I have come to fulfill it. And we need to remember that everything that was is still. Okay? Jesus said, I'll not remove. Heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot, not one tittle. That's the dot of an I or the cross of a T. Will not perish from the law. It is that real to us today. God has given us all the hope that we could ever want. He's given us the information. He's given us the instruction. And now he's given us a way to prove it to the world. That we can be Christians, live that healthy, wholesome life. You know, you're going to say, well, we shouldn't be out there in the public. In some instances, no, you shouldn't. You need to watch where you're going. You need to censure yourself. That's one of the things Israel was told to do, not to mingle among some of these people because they were sick, all right? We need to not mingle. And you know what? If somebody's sick, well, then how are we supposed to serve them? You got a telephone? You got a telephone? You call. How are you doing? Do you need food? Hey, I'm going to come over. I'm going to drop off a bag of food. What do you need? I'll go to the grocery store. I'll pick it up. I'm going to drop it at the door for you. You don't have to go in. You don't have to see that person. You don't have to hug them. You don't have to, you know, whatever. You do what's necessary. We be the church of Christ. Amen? I like how I said that. We be the church of Christ. And that's what we need to do. Don't let this stuff drive you to a point of panic. I mean, my goodness, people are hoarding toilet paper. Really? When it snows, it's bread and milk and eggs, right? Because I said, you know, well, how much bread, milk, and eggs should we get for this thing? We're going to be in the house for 2 weeks. Oh, hey, don't worry about that. Get the toilet paper. And heaven's sakes, don't forget the Clorox wipes. You got to laugh at ourselves. We get it all backwards. We get it all balled up. Folks, God tells us these things are coming in His Word. In the book of Revelation, we read of the pestilence and stuff that's going to come towards the end. Why does He tell us these things? To scare us, right? No. To tell us, would you please prepare? Would you please have the extra rolls of toilet paper in your pantry? Better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. Amen. But the day you need it is not the day to go get it. Again, it's common sense. Oh, my heavens. Can we see how we have allowed the programming that's out there to guide us away from the programming that God has given us to keep us safe, that there is a way that leads to health and life and wholeness and holiness. And I'm using, you know, we can laugh at each other. And I'll tell you right now, I pray this is going out there viral because we need to laugh at this coronavirus. I'm not laughing at the people whose lives have been destroyed by it. May God have mercy on their souls. May He bless their families unto the healing of their hearts. Because I'll tell you right now, one person dying from it is wrong, all right? But folks, we're talking a virus. I don't know about you, but I can't see a virus. It is so small, and yet it has the ability to kill us. Do you realize what that is saying to you? What that is saying to me? We are not. Life is fragile. And if you're going to live it to the full, follow my word and live life abundantly. God gives us the hopes and dreams of His love, of everything that He wants in our lives. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 5, 13 through 18. Book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. This is Jesus speaking to you and me, all right? This is Jesus speaking to the church. And He says, "You are the salt of the earth." Matthew, chapter 5, beginning in the 13th verse. "But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter nor stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Because you see, God's law, everything that God does, harmonizes with His way of grace and faith. You and I live in that grace and faith. And what God tells us does not conflict with that way of grace and faith. God has given us the ability to operate that when we are obeying His law, when we are walking with Him in the law, our faith is what keeps us safe. It is the knowledge that God has made a way. And for some, it's going to seem stupid. It is going to seem illogical. But folks, isn't it the very thing that we're being told to do by the powers that be? But you see, God's telling us for no purpose than to give us life, where others are using it to control and cast blame. God's using it to give us hope and a purpose. Because in this life, we're the light of the world. We need to be the one shining right now, that we're not afraid of this thing, that we are willing to be out here today. We're here in church, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, we are going to have church as long as our area does not spike above a certain extent, okay? And I'm going to ask you right now, if you know that you've been around people who have come down with this thing, what do? God says, if you know that you've been exposed, you isolate yourself. That's God's word, all right? Isolate yourself. You do it out of respect and love and admiration. And you trust that God's going to keep you safe. And you call the pastor and say, hey, I'm not well. I think I might have this thing. And then you go get checked and all that good stuff. And guess what? As you have need, we will come to the house and drop things off for you. We'll call and see how you're doing. And if it gets to the point where I don't get an answer, I'm putting on a mask and gloves and I'm coming to your house. You think I'm not serious? Who do you think put the stuff out here for the antiseptic stuff? And I even gave gloves for the elders so when they count the money, they don't have to touch it. God has a way. I believe it. I'm going to walk in it. And I'm going to be an example to all of you and unto this world. And that's what I'm asking you to be. God says, let your light shine. Shine the hope of Jesus Christ, because it doesn't matter. I'll tell you right now, if my life ends today,
Don't give up.
Tomorrow I'll be in heaven, right? No, today I'll be in heaven. If my life ends today I'll be in heaven. I already know that. That doesn't mean I'm going to be stupid. I'm not going to walk in front of a bus. Nor am I going to shake everybody's hand and give them hugs. You know, my wife said to me on the way here, she said, that means no hugs and kisses today. I'm going to tell her that later when she wants a kiss. I'm going to say, oh, no hugs and kisses today. Within reason, right? God tells us how to live, but let us be that light. Let us keep the saltiness, because if we lose it, what good are we? Let us be the example of Christ in this world. Let us be the love of God one to another. And let's not let this thing whoremonger us into fear and desire of whatever, all right? But may we have confidence that God has made a way. And there is no other way, because it's the only way that leads to life. Today, I want you to think about just where we are and where we're going. Because God's law, God's Torah, God's teaching is a program of faith that leads to growth. You know, I put plants in the back room of my house, and they get sunlight through a window, and it gets warm in that room. Have you ever seen plants that grow in a window in real warm conditions? They get spindly, okay? They grow real quick, grow real tall, and if you take them outside, do you know what happens to them? Yep, they wilt. They die because it's too harsh in that outside environment. God doesn't want us to be Christians in a bubble, Christians in a greenhouse. God wants us to be planted in the firm soil of Jesus Christ and to be out here not of the world, but in the world, growing and flourishing. So may we remember that it's through the tough times that we grow stronger. What makes a tree send down deep roots? Do you know? Dry weather. What else?
Wind.
Dry weather, wind, and lots of rain. Okay? Because all those things soften the soil and stress the tree. And the tree knows that when that wind is battering, it literally sends enzymes down to make the roots grow, to make them deeper, to keep it solid. Okay? We need to be just like that. We need to send down those deep roots in the times of trial and struggle. God wants us to grow, and there needs to be as much growth in the soil as above it. And the soil we know is the Word of God. So today, brothers and sisters, I'm challenging you. I'm asking you, pick up this Word. Read this Word. See what He has to tell you. Because God's Torah, God's teaching, God's information, God's instruction has all the answers. We just have to apply them. But we need to know them first, don't we? So that means pick up your basic instructions before leaving Earth and give it a good read. You'd be surprised. You won't have any nuts and bolts left at the end. You will be full and fulfilled, both now and unto eternity in Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father God, we rise up before you today, and we give you thanks, and we praise you, because you have given us your word, your Torah, your law. And that information is so much that, Lord, we need to reinvest. We need to pick it up again and start anew. And ask your Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to open the doors before us of understanding. Because, Lord, as we apply our minds to you, so too will you, through the Holy Spirit, apply your mind to us as we believe and have faith. So open your way, O Lord, that we may know your truth and not be afraid of what's going on, but understand that there is a way to live, and that way leads to life. For Lord God, may we be found walking with you all the days and all the ways of our lives. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.